Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So Joel Embiid getting all the love. Oh, everyone just waxing poetic about Joel Embiid at 33 points, 10 rebounds, bunch of block shots. I think he had 5 block shots. And Toronto wins game 3 of the Eastern Conference semifinals in a rout or route, depending on where you grew up. So the Sixers now, after losing game 1, have won the last 2. And if my Maller math is correct, they only have to win 2 more games, and they win the series. Now, I don't know if you saw this game or not. I watched. You didn't watch? No? All right. I watched. If you didn't watch, you didn't miss much, because the Sixers put the Raptors into what I like to call the Oregon Grinder. Now, the final was a 21-point spread, 116-95. Philadelphia did not trail in the game. It started 0-0, and the rest of the game, they went back and forth, and the Toronto Raptors never had the lead. They, now, it was within striking distance for a while, but this was a wire-to-wire situation. And then eventually, it was close, an 8-point game going to the fourth quarter, and then the eviscerating, the dinosaurs in the fourth quarter there, and the reaction from all the different participants here. Brett Brown, the Sixer coach, said it was Joel Embiid's defense. Defense wins championships. He was going on about that. He said the defense was great. The crown jewel defensively and offensively. He was just slobbering all over Joel Embiid, who had 5 blocks, as I believe I said. But the better story is in the losing locker room, a series that started so promising for our friends in Toronto and has turned rancid real quick. Philadelphia, the way you could describe this, in addition to being a barbecue, Philadelphia took a mop and mopped the floor with Toronto, is essentially what they did in this game. So let's discuss. Now, the question on what's the level of concern for our Canadian brothers and sisters that love the Raptors after this performance? Now, the Maller panic meter, which has been adjusted, it's got a Canadian scale now, 1 to 10, with 10 being having to watch the Blue Jays 7 days a week, because that would be torture, be painful. So on the Maller scale of panic, 1 to 10, with 10 being watching the Blue Jays, I'm at an 8 for the Raptors. I'm at an 8. Now, my thoughts, you've got the pontoon boat, daydreaming, and the supernova. And we will combine all of this together, and we will put this into a nice pie dish, and then we'll put it in the oven. We'll see what happens. Now, A, the Toronto Raptors, they hired, we know this story, they fired Dwayne Casey last year. They brought in the male nurse as their coach, who's a meme-tastic head coach. But they should have hired a drill sergeant. Because my initial takeaway, everyone's bludgeoning the Raptors bench and the supporting staff, and I will get to that. But this game, while it got away from Toronto late, the reason that it got away, the main reason, is because the best player the Raptors have, the top player on the entire team, wasn't able to start the fourth quarter. And that killed them. That killed the Toronto Raptors. Nick Nurse, the male nurse, the coach of the Raptors, he put Kawhi Leonard on the bench to get some rest. At the start of a fourth quarter in a playoff game that was a pivotal game 3 situation, the coach of the Raptors determined that Kawhi Leonard is such a pussy willow that guy's got to sit on the bench to start the fourth quarter. He was floating along on a pontoon boat as the Raptors were drowning. And Kawhi was on his pontoon boat there, and he was just going on, la, 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 la. Yeah, he's doing his thing. And he's getting a foot rub and a shoulder massage while the team is just vomiting all over the court. You know, I don't want to mince words here. So if you go to the stats, it was an 8-point game, as I said, in the fourth quarter. Kawhi goes to the bench because God forbid he play the entire fourth quarter of the game. He starts out on the bench. In the span of 2 minutes and 23 seconds, not even 2.5 full minutes, the 76ers jumped out. They doubled the lead. They went up by 16. By the time Leonard returned to the Raptors lineup, there was no stopping the runaway train. They could see the back of the caboose as it was going down the tracks is what they could do. Now, he was also bad in the fourth quarter, but everyone sucked for Toronto. Now, to be fair, this game is actually more of a referendum on the entire Raptor roster as much as it is the frailties of Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi has to put more of the weight on his back. He takes off so many games during the regular season, and they enable Kawhi Leonard to do this. Well, the payoff should be, hey, in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, you've got to be able to play all 12 minutes because there's so many stoppages. It's not like it's nonstop where they, you know, you play for about a minute and then you stop for 30 seconds and you catch your breath because there's a TV timeout or something along those lines. But you break it down. I mean, listen, the supporting actors pull the Houdini act. Kawhi Leonard has to carry the water, though, in Toronto. And you go down the list. I mean, Pascal Siakam of the Raptors, they're very frustrated. Siakam, he tripped Joel Embiid, which was actually pretty funny. It was like something I'd seen like the old days of the NBA. But Embiid, like, he was just grave dancing on the Raptors there. He was flying all over the place. He was doing the jet. He did the whole jet thing after he had a big basket there. He drove down. It was like slapstick comedy with Joel Embiid. It's like Harlem Globetrotters type stuff. And overall, it's, you know, it's obvious what happened here. The worst thing you can say, I was told this years ago by an athlete, the worst thing you can say about a professional athlete is that they gave up, they quit. The Toronto Raptors gave up in the fourth quarter. I don't know how else to say it. They were caught daydreaming. They were tentative. They were reluctant to shoot, very passive, which is bizarre. I mean, they didn't play well the other three quarters, but they were hanging around. Toronto's bench was useless again, incapable of providing anything. Playoff Lowry is not good. I saw Lowry after the game says, I'm not helping Kawhi enough. Really? Yeah, I don't think you are. But it's not just Kyle Lowry. It's Marc Gasol, Fred VanVleet, which I think is German for bad. At playoff basketball, I think that might be what that name is. But, you know, bad actors. Lowry was terrible. Well, he was on the court. Toronto was outscored by 28 points. Marc Gasol, the big pickup from Memphis, while he was out there, the Raptors were outscored by 26 points. VanVleet was completely a waste of space. 0 of 7 from the floor in 21 minutes. That is useless. And then when Leonard went to the bench, the floodgates, as I mentioned, they opened up. It was raining down raindrops that were actually the size of cheesesteaks and tasty cakes. And Philadelphia outscoring Toronto 18-2 in the paint in the fourth quarter. That is all you need to know about the lack of effort, the lack of desire. If you are getting outscored by 16 points in a 12-minute stretch of basketball in the paint, you know what you're doing? You're doing Matador defense. Ole, 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 ole. That's the defense you play. I don't even have a skin in the game. The Sixers took an 8-point lead, and then all of a sudden, by the time the quarter ended, they were up by as many as 26. All right, last word on this. Now, Philadelphia's confidence, sky high. There is no such thing as momentum, but confidence is real. And in reality, they have the Raptors on the ropes. Here's why. You saw it's only 2-1, best of 7, big deal. It's got to, still got to win two more games. But the next game, in game 4 here, should Philadelphia walk off the court victorious, it's 3-1. It's 3-2-1 Cancun for Toronto. They will not even show up to game 5. They'll forfeit, actually, game 5. They will actually forfeit game 5. And listen, Joel Embiid, before our friends from Philadelphia get all upset, you should be praising Joel Embiid. Yeah, Joel Embiid was a monster. Congratulations. He played like a supernova and all that stuff. I like his personality. The Sixers bother me. I don't want to see them win anything because that would be rewarding. Trust the process. And that is a disease. That is a plague that is on all professional sports. It's worked its way into the NFL with the Cleveland Browns doing it in recent years. And you go down the list. In baseball, there's a, look at the Baltimore Orioles and a bunch of other teams. Trust the process is a tumor. And the Sixers are, you know, patient zero is the Philadelphia 76ers when it comes to that. But Embiid played wonderfully. And Jimmy Butler, those two guys, the dynamic duo there, they had 19 points in the fourth quarter combined. The entire Bad News Bears of the Toronto Raptors had 13 points. As a team, it was a clinic. It was a surgical performance by the Sixers. Start to finish, they led all the way. And but it is the backups that were terrible. Here is, what does a male nurse sound like? That would be Nick Nurse, the coach of Toronto. He's the guy that's got his mouth open all the time. Here is Nick Nurse pointing out that, let's just say, it was not a night to remember for the Raptors.
We got outplayed, Doug, and just about every area we could get outplayed. Just in overall, you know, physicality, energy, cutting, rebounding, passing, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think we got thoroughly outplayed.
What else is there other than that stuff? Is there anything else? Did you look good in your uniform? Did your uniform smell fresh? All right, here's more from Nick Nurse. Now, I mentioned the passive nature of the Toronto Raptors. Like, they were afraid to shoot, like somebody, it would be like a death squad. If they take a shot and miss, that terrible things would happen. Here's Nick Nurse pointing out the obvious.
There was a lot of guys passing up shots, right? There was a couple possessions. I was like, oh, there it goes up, and it was four more passes would go by. It seemed like every guy that had it was open, and he kept moving it to the next guy. I don't know, that's unselfish on one point, but it ended up getting to be where it looked like there was just the shot. First shot was there. You just go ahead and step into it and lace it up. And that's every, you know, that's everybody. There's not a guy we put out there if it gets swung around to him, we don't want him to take it.
Just keep passing the ball. That's the Princeton offense. You just pass. The problem is with 24-second shot clock, you do that all the time, it becomes problematic. All right, Kawhi Leonard, who hates to talk to the media, so the media wanted to talk to Kawhi Leonard. He had 33 points. He took 22 shots to get to 33 points. Here's Kawhi Leonard pointing out the Toronto Raptors sucked at basketball.
They scored 115 points tonight. They got some easy looks at the basket. We didn't do well in transition early on. Shot 50% from the field, 40 from three. We got to play better defense.
What about the offense? We can do everything. Here's a fun fact. You want a fun fact? Who doesn't love a fun fact? So Joel Embiid had 33 points. Kawhi Leonard had 33 points. The rest of the Sixers scored 83 points. They shot 51%. Players not named Joel Embiid shot over 50%, had 83 points. Players not named Kawhi Leonard scored 62 points and had shot 36% as a team. So that means that the rest of the Sixers outscored the rest of the Raptors by 21 points, which was the final margin of said game. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia.
You said something that greatly amused me, Ben.
Really?
Maller. 3-2-1 Cancun.
Yeah, you like that. That's a great tribute to Nick Van Exel, of course.
Is that right?
Yeah, you don't know that?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, back before, this was before Kobe, I think. It was the Lakers of Cedric Ceballos.
Yeah, the year before Kobe got there.
Before that, yeah, Shaq was there. But, yeah, they were playing, I forget who they were playing, maybe like the Utah Jazz in the playoffs, and they were getting smoked. And you know how they break the huddle before the game or whatever. It was either before the game or late in the game, but they did a 3-2-1 Cancun. That was Nick Van Exel who led the team. One of the great leaders in NBA history. Right?
Sure.
I mean, it's that kind of leadership, which is tremendous.
Oh, that is fantastic. Right? You fail at your job and go on vacation. It's a good gig.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, like that's it is really odd. Like, you know, fans get all upset. Boy, I wish my team made the playoffs and all that. But you think LeBron James is worried the Lakers didn't make the playoffs? He's making movies. He's going out. He's in the, you know, tropical destinations having a great time. You know, he's been in the playoffs plenty of times. It is one of those odd things in life where by being bad at your job, you get more downtime. You get more vacation time. You go, you know, in New Zealand, they call it holiday.
Yeah.
You go on holiday, but you get more of that. So it's a great thing.
I will never forget 3-2-1 Cancun.
That's good.
Actually, Shaq was on that team. So was Kobe. He was a rookie.
Was Kobe a rookie on that team? Well, he didn't play much as a Look at the historian over there. That's Roberto doing his homework on the Cancun, the famous Cancun line. Isn't Nick Van Exel like an assistant coach somewhere in the NBA? I think he is.
Oh, wow. Is that right?
Yeah, his kid, unfortunately, is in jail for killed somebody. But Nick.
The Grizzlies.
Grizzlies?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, Nick was a pretty good player a million years ago.
Second round pick, not bad.
I like that he wore his socks really, really tall. Really tall socks.
He had an odd look to him, though, didn't he? Like the. Sam Cassell, but he had
he's not an alien, but he had the shaved head and then the little mustache.
Yeah, I think it was the spacing of the eyes. I think. Am I correct on that?
Right? No, you're totally right.
Okay, all right.
They're way too far on the sides of his head.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
That's man.
Yeah, I mean,
feel
it's
bad.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's. It's just genetics, man. I mean, I don't know. It was an odd look.
But hey, he still had, Cancun. So, I mean, don't feel too sorry for him, Kirk.
No, he did. Exactly.
It's either that or Sam Cassell's egghead that he had.
Sam Cassell, half man, like half an alien. Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely like that. What do you think Eldon Campbell, speaking of that era of Laker basketball, what do you think Eldon Campbell's doing right now?
I see him all the time. I told you about that, right?
I would say he's probably napping because that's what he used to do when he played for the team.
His daughter plays on the same high school volleyball team as my niece.
Okay, all right, so you do see.
So he comes out all the time, and you're like, who is this gigantic guy up in the corner just like spread out all over the bleachers?
Just kind of hanging out?
Yeah, just kind of watching.
Does he hang out with Eddie Jones? Is Eddie Jones there? From
him. Just throwing they're out in Palos Verdes.
Random. Oh yeah, they're doing doing poorly if they're in Palos Verdes.
No, it's
not a lot of money there.
The first time I saw him, it was like someone had not turned on. They have these giant fans, and these gyms can get very, very hot.
That's what I hear.
And they had these giant fans in the corner, and no one had turned them on. And Eldon's like, "I'm hot. I'm gonna go turn these fans."
That's good.
We were all like, "Good job."
It's all Eldon. About comfort, man. You gotta take care of that.
Yeah, because these high schools are all old and they don't fix them.
Well,
it costs a lot of money to turn the AC on and keep it nice and cool in there.
Yeah. Speaking of old, though, those mail trucks. Every time I see a mail truck, they got like 10.
Oh, those things are terrible,
10,
man.
10 gallons, 10 miles to the gallon. Those.
No AC in that thing either.
Yeah.
They got that little fan, though.
Oh, it blows hot air.
Mail carriers die because of that.
It's horrible.
What?
And the
last year somebody died in the summer because there's no AC in the vans.
It's terrible. I feel bad for our postal workers. That sucks. And also,
it's terrible. Here's the problem. They get treated like crap there.
The mail. Every time I see a mail truck, I think, boy, we could do better. We could do something. We get rid of the mail trucks, get something better. It gets better gas mileage, save the taxpayers some money. And the school buses. Like, all the school buses are crappy. They're all
same
old,
thing, yeah.
Same deal. It's old technology.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So we know in the NBA, the 76ers took down Toronto. They're up 2-1 in that series. We have NFL news. I like talking about things like the National Football League. It's good for business. And one of my new nemesis in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals, who had the number one pick, they threw away Josh Rosen. They took Josh Rosen. They threw him overboard, which is hard to do when you're in a state like Arizona. It's landlocked, but they tossed him out in the desert, said, get out of here. Goodbye, see you later. And are they going to go slow play on alligator arms? Well, that's open to debate, right? Now, I'm going to go no on this. No Green Bay, no Kansas City model. I'm sorry, Gettleman, because the news came out. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So you have the Cardinals GM, Steve Keim, is the Cardinals GM, and he went on the radio, on Fox Sports Radio with the Danettes, and confirmed that week one, Kyler Murray is going to start against the Detroit Lions. He's going to be, which is good news for the Lions, right? It's good news. You want to be the team that Kyler Murray is going to play against the first time. Now, Keim went on to say, we didn't draft him number one overall to ride the pine. He said, I know a lot has been put on his back, but that's why we drafted him, close quote. All right, so the question, are the Cardinals making the right call? Is this even the right call? Because the coach said something different. The coach, in a different radio interview, would not say that that is going to happen, that Kyler Murray is going to be the starting quarterback. But let's assume that the GM, Steve Keim, is right. Are the Cardinals making the right call in starting Kyler Murray from Jump Street? Now I'm actually going to go yes on this. I'm going to go correct the mundo on this one. Now, my observation is you've got Sink or Swim, the coloring book, and the guillotine. And we will mix all of this together into a nice Baba Ganoush, and we'll see how it turns out. Now, number one, Kyler Murray is going to be an abject failure with the Arizona Cardinals. I'm on the record. With that, I have walked the plank into a pit of ranch dressing. I have lived that hell. I have eaten rotting food on the radio. I have done that. All right, I have done that to prove my point about Kyler Murray. So there's no objection. There's no objection to Kyler Murray being a bust. Now, I'm not going to object either to the Cardinals playing. There's going to be a medley of mistakes, all shapes and sizes. Of course, most will be small mistakes because you've got the Oompa Loompa at quarterback. So there won't be big mistakes. There'll be little mistakes. Nevertheless, the Cardinals think they are christening a star. Right? It is my position that what they'll be doing is feeding Kyler Murray to the Lions. It's a biblical reference, but it is accurate. Right, it is accurate. That's what's going to happen. Now, for me, the sink or swim model, we've talked about this a lot over the years here. That is the method to go. You learn from doing. You don't learn from watching. If you want my job, you want to become a talk show host, you have to do talk shows to become a better talk show host. If you want to be a firefighter, you have to put out fires to be a better firefighter. If you want to be a better police officer, I'm thinking you have to work the police beat for a while. If you want to be a criminal, you got to rob a few banks before you get it done. Anything you do, 10,000 hours, some arbitrary number, I'm all for it. But actually doing it, holding a clipboard, wearing a baseball cap, that doesn't make you a better quarterback. It doesn't. So there will be a bunch of growing pains. I don't think they'll ever end, but that's my position. Now, secondly, the most amusing part of this chapter in the saga of the Arizona Cardinals, and you should never talk too much about the Arizona Cardinals. They're bad for radio, but what the hell? Steve Keim, the GM of the Cardinals, his line with Dan Patrick, because it went 180 degrees the opposite direction, well, close to 180 degrees, from what his coach said. Like, it's the palace intrigue is just wonderful because Keim, the GM, contradicted his head coach, Sean McVay's coffee buddy, Sean McVay's pool boy, Cliff Kingsbury, who's now pretending to be the coach of the Cardinals. He would not commit to naming Kyler Murray the Cardinals' starting quarterback. His boss is Steve Keim, and in the blink of an eye, no pause, no delay, when asked on Fox Sports Radio with Dan Patrick, said yes. They're showing you the lack of communication in the Arizona front office, which is shows you why they're in this pickle in the first place. What a dumb, dumb draft selection. Not exactly on the same page. It's also called undermining the coach, right? Now, we think that Kingsbury is just a sock puppet anyway, but this is more evidence here. Now, to also be fair, the Cardinals, from an X's and O's standpoint, you can get a coloring book and have more layers than the Cardinals are going to have on offense. This is a franchise-altering decision, and the coach apparently is not going to be the one that makes it. You're not even going to pretend like Kyler Murray has to earn the gig. They're just simply handing him the keys to the castle. I'm okay with that because I know in the real world that's how it works. But as others have pointed out, they're claiming that Kyler Murray is going to be like Russell Wilson. He can't be like Russell Wilson. It's an impossibility because Russell Wilson had no expectations. The Seattle Seahawks didn't think Russell Wilson was going to be very good. They didn't believe Russell Wilson was going to be good. That's why they paid a guy named Matt Flynn a bunch of money in free agency to be the starting quarterback. They drafted, they took a flyer on Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson wasn't given the starting job in Seattle. He earned it. He beat out Matt Flynn in training camp, and that's how he became the starting quarterback. He put on a smoke show. So, right off the bat, the comparisons end between Alligator Arms Murray and Russell Wilson because Russell's path was different. low expectations. Now, I have low expectations of Kyler Murray, but everyone else has high expectations. Everyone else expects this to be great and wonderful and all that. This will be, when it's all done and Kyler Murray in a couple years is back playing minor league baseball for the A's, this will be my magnum opus as far as Schadenfreude is concerned. The amount of Schadenfreude, the euphoria that I will have for every interception, every fumble, every sack, every time he holds the ball too long, makes a bad decision. Now, the apologists will blame for Kyler Murray, his offensive line, or the fact that he was rushed and they should have held him back, all that. It's going to be like the Demolition Derby, and he's the crash test dummy in the Demolition Derby. But you got to have that fall guy. Got to have that fall guy. There's no other backup. Brett Hundley is the backup at the moment for the Arizona Cardinals, and he will play a lot. And assuming
who?
Well, he used to play at UCLA, and then he went with Green Bay and Cleveland.
Never heard of him.
Bounced around. All right, final point here. Now, ultimately, here's the way this is going to work out. I'm going to tell you, all right? I got all the answers. Distant relative of the great Nostradamus. So, ultimately, Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim are going to face a Waterloo moment. Together, all right? And even if they aren't in lockstep, which they do not appear to be, what is the end game here? The end game, they will be rewarded for drafting Kyler Murray with a trip to the guillotine. That's going to be their comeuppance, as far as their careers are concerned, in Arizona. And it's got the double whammy, right? He's too small. He runs too much. That is a lethal combination and not a good kind of lethal. And everyone that had a role in this decision, I said this on draft night, everyone that had a role in this decision is eventually going to be unemployed as a direct result to this decision. Total negligence to draft this pipsqueak with the number one overall pick. It shows you a lack of talent evaluation, shows you how out of touch Steve Keim is, stay off the sauce, and how uninformed the scouting department there is in Arizona. And the nepotism, too, the fact that Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray have the same quarterback. So it is the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas Solid Gold Garcia.
Well, now that Rosen is gone in Arizona,
yes, he's in Miami.
Who would be the other option?
Well, thank you for listening,
them?
Eddie. I'm glad you listened. Brett Hundley, Eddie. Brett Hundley.
Oh, my God.
I've never said that name before. He used to be at UCLA. Brett Hundley. He's the backup quarterback. He's
wow.
Behind door number two for the Arizona Cardinals.
So, barring injury, it's Kyler Murray's show.
I'd be surprised if he makes it out of training camp healthy.
No.
I could see this guy ending up on injured reserve by the end of training camp and missing the entire year with a broken ankle.
No. You take it too far, Ben.
I'm not taking it too far. I see broken ankle. I think broken
ankle. He might
ankle.
Break some ankles with his moves. I mean,
No. I'm thinking broken ankle. That's what I'm thinking.
Don't wish that on him.
I'm not wishing it on him.
I don't feel like you are.
I don't control that kind of thing. I don't.
Brett Hundley.
The guy have some kind of like voodoo doll or something like that?
No, if you did, you would use it all the time.
So no, I would not do that. The other quarterback is Chad Kanoff, Eddie.
No.
Chad Kanoff is the other quarterback. I don't even know who that is.
No,
but he's
no
the
clue.
Third string quarterback. He
played, how do you spell that?
I think they just. No, he's been around, actually. He's 24.
Never heard of him.
He has?
Well, I don't think he's played in the NFL, but he's 24, so I don't...
He's been living on Earth. He's been around, yeah. But I mean...
He went to Princeton, Eddie.
Yes.
So many great quarterbacks came to the NFL from Princeton, all of them in, like, the 1940s, but that's okay. You know? They're due.
Was Jason Garrett a Princeton guy?
I don't know. Was he? No, maybe you're right.
So.
Yeah,
I think
maybe
so.
Maybe he was. But he wasn't good.
No, but he's the only other guy from Princeton I can think of that... played quarterback, or was even in the NFL for that matter, that I can think of.
Let's see. Princeton, should we look at Princeton quarterbacks? Do we
Fitzmagic
want
went to Harvard?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Havard Yard. That's correct. Let's see here. Somebody I know has a kid playing baseball at Harvard. How about that? Must be a smart kid.
Good for him.
I'm looking here. Page. I don't have a list. Do you have a list, Eddie?
No.
I don't have a list. Too bad, because I wanted to do Gascon Radio. He loves lists. That's Gascon. We call that Gascon Radio. List Radio.
David Gagan.
Yes. He loved Casey Kasem, this old DJ who used to did the
You top. Almost killed him.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, he eventually did die, Eddie, but I did not lead to his demise. But yes, I did have a run-in with the great Casey Kasem, a radio legend.
And he was a tiny little guy, and at the time, you were really gigantic.
He was Kyler Murray size. Yeah, he was Kyler Murray size. And
well, what happened?
Do you know what famous cartoon character, Eddie?
He did quite a few, but
he's
did,
most known
yeah,
for.
Yeah, he did Shaggy,
that's
right?
That's right, from Scooby-Doo.
Scoob.
Yeah. Legend.
He was walking in the hallway, Roberto. He used to do his show right across the way here.
He had a little booth,
little
and
studio.
He did the voiceovers.
That one in the corner over there, that was the Casey Kasem studio.
Yeah.
And he was coming around the corner, and Ben was coming the other way.
Well,
and
I was running because I was late. I had gone to the—
Oh, you were running? God.
Well, I had gone to the bat. I was rumbling and stumbling and I turned the corner, and Casey had walked out of his little booth where he was doing like America's Top 40 Countdown or whatever. He walked out of his booth. And he looked at me like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. This wild buffalo is going to run me over.
May have had an accident when he saw that.
Yeah. But I, because of my quick ninja-like skills, Eddie, was able to dodge Casey Kasem, saving his life heroically. And I did bump into the wall a little bit, but that's all right. Yeah. It's a radio legend. Icon. And one of the greatest bloopers of all time. If you're a young person, you've not heard Casey Kasem and his dying dog dedication. It is, if you don't laugh at that, you don't have a funny bone. If you don't think that's hilarious, if you don't find the humor in Casey Kasem ranting and raving about having to, you know, come into an upbeat song, I'm talking about a dying dog, it is one of the funniest things you've ever heard. I don't care. I've heard it a million times, Eddie. I met the man.
I think I have it right
here. I didn't really know him, but I met him a couple of times. Oh, you have it? All right, play a little bit of it. Go ahead.
This may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. See, when you come out of those up-tempo numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions, and then you got to go into somebody dying. Okay, I want a concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a tempo record every time I do a death dedication. Because last time, I want somebody to use his brain and not come out of a record that is that's up tempo, and I got to talk about a dog dying.
That's Casey Kasem.
That's great, man. That's great audio.
It's one of the most listened to people in radio in his time. He was a legend.
That's funny.
If I get another dog, Eddie, I think I now know the name of the dog.
Snuggles.
Yeah, my dog Snuggles. All right. To the phones we go. Let's say hello to Philly Rob, who is, he's in Philly. Well, we're Vegas. Hello, Philly Rob.
Hello, Ben. Philadelphia's in the air everywhere. Very good night for the Sixers.
It's raining cheesesteaks and tasty cakes. It's like when you...
And hoagies and soft pretzels.
When you visit, it's like that,
who?
Philly Rob. You make it rain food when you come here, and so, yes, absolutely.
You got it. Good night. Good night. It'll be a great night when we get to the championship series.
Yeah. Now let's talk about what's not right. How about those fighting Phils? Let's talk about
Bryce Harper.
they'll come back. But who in the heck cares about Toronto Raptors?
I just did a Maller monologue on the Toronto Raptors. The better stories in the losing locker room, Philly Rob.
I think he was trying to get a drop there.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, not anymore. It's the Sixers. Bryce Harper, those guys will come back. Wait, hey, Ben, who's in first place in the NL East?
What's that? Oh, who cares
who's
about
in the first NL place East? In the NL East?
The NL East is irrelevant. Nobody cares about the NL. It's all about the NL.
Philadelphia Phillies.
The NL balance of power is at Chavez Ravine.
Yeah.
Dodger
well,
Stadium.
The Phillies will be there the end of June, right?
Yeah, you don't want to go there. That's a pit of vipers at
end
Dodger
of May.
Stadium.
I'll be at the three games, I'm sure you will too.
Even worse, is it on the weekend or during the week? I don't know. I might make an appearance out there.
Thursday. I think it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I'll be out there then. I'll hit one of the games. I'll do it.
We'll see. Give you two biblical reference on a sports team.
Yeah.
Philadelphia and the Eagles.
Yeah. All right.
They're in the good book.
In the good book. The Phillies are in the bad book, though, right now. They're in the bad book. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Philly Rob, the great Philly
Rob.
Have
a great night.
All right, be good. There he goes. Where he goes, no one knows. All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox. If you would like to join the conversation, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Supermarket Steve, the guy that sent that gigantic William Shatner action figure, he says, that gift was from my wife. It is actually a voodoo doll, Ben. You don't know that. So, oh, really? I saw it's like a Shatner voodoo ball, a doll, so I could like, interesting. I can twist Shatner's arm backwards and put his legs in awkward positions and all that stuff. Oh, thank you. That's a fun fact. Let's go to David in Winter Park, Florida. David, the keeper of Roscoe the Parrot. Hello, David.
Good morning, Ben. I guess we're ready to talk about a little preview at the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, here we go. Now, David, you've been very good at picking baseball games, David, but how are you at horse racing?
Yes. Ed, before, my play with the race, FML, at my over the...
What? Start over.
Gave out with the Royals, minus 157,
you had the one. You had the Rays. You had the Rays. That was your pick. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and now you're 19-10 plus 18, 41 for the season.
All right, you're giving out too many numbers. Now, David, you can't give out too many numbers on the radio, David, because nobody pays attention. But you're doing well. You've won more games than you've lost. You've made money.
Well, all right. Yeah. Now, Eddie Garcia, will you please play a little bit of that old Kentucky home, and we will get –
He's now requesting music here. He's all right, give me the top three
there you,
horses.
There you go. I played that just for you.
Here we go.
All right. You have to look at Roaster. He won the Santa Anita Derby last month.
And
he was game winner.
And he didn't die, which is impressive because horses died in the race. That's how he won.
Also,
yeah.
I picked 30-10-1. He has Rosellu.
I picked Roadster on the equine.
Never heard of him.
Yes, you did.
I did. Right.
Now, here's the thing, too. The surprise horse of the race.
Yeah.
And this is something that is a horse of the table. Let's see. Right here. Oh, yeah. By the way, the favorite is going in. Omaha Beach was scratched on Wednesday.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah,
because of the race.
Right.
The surprise horse of the race.
You didn't pick
I'm
Roadster.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I'm getting it right here. It is Master Fence. He is the Japanese horse.
Master P?
Master Fence.
I don't even see that horse on my list.
He is the best closer of all the 20 horses in the race.
Master what?
Master Fence. M-A-S-T-E-R-F-E-N-C-E.
I don't even see it. All right.
He is the best closer.
Am I speaking Chinese?
And here's the thing, Ben.
Horse racing.
They expect to have rain.
Who?
Ah,
Muddy Waters. Muddy Waters.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, he has to be a mandatory wager on the exotic.
Okay. So,
remember, one last thing.
Wait. Hold on a second. Wait. So I just want to clarify here. So, David, your pick is the Roadster, but then your dark horse pick you just said was the Master.
Master Fence.
All right. So those are the two horses. Yes.
And one last thing.
Master Fencer.
Six horses, right, who was favorite. One. So I think this year there would not be a favorite coming in the winner's circle.
Who? Oh, so you're going go with an underdog. I got you. All right. Well, thank you,
David.
All right.
Thank you, Ben.
All right. There he goes. All right. The great David in Florida, Winter Park, Florida. Guy drove all the way from Winter Park, Florida, Boston to hang out with me at a bar across from Fenway Park. And he was the talk of that Maller get together. I haven't heard from that moving man, Matt, since that event, though. I hope he made it home safely. I've not heard from him. He's probably moving somewhere. He's a podcast listener a lot.
Sat on the toilet with the plunger in it the other day.
Blind Scott was there. He was a rock star. They loved them some Blind Scott. They did.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And it is time now for the third degree, the Koopa Loop.
Now, it seems every couple of years or so, Sean Payton's name pops up in rumors for the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Payton addressed those rumors on Wednesday and said that he just laughs them off. He said he's made a home in New Orleans. Ben, do you believe Payton would never go to Dallas, or do you think he could pull a Saban?
All right, so number one, Sean Payton will never admit that he's planning on leaving the Saints. So it's silly to ask him about rumors. Coaches are born liars on these type of issues. So that's number one. Number two, life is going to come at you fast if you're Sean Payton, right? You figure Drew Brees looked old at the end of last season. He eventually is going to be in a nursing home. The Saints are going to have to win games with Teddy Bridgewater or someone else at quarterback. If the Cowboys don't improve and they tread water, Jerry Jones is a very good fallback option. Sean Payton's got ties in Dallas. So do I believe the coach? I don't believe him. Although I know he's beloved in New Orleans, but I don't buy him. All right, next.
Ben, there's been so much talk about the Giants taking Daniel Jones at number 6. Gettleman insists that he would have been gone before the team picked again at 17. Now, David Cutcliffe claims that he has inside information that backs that up. Now, some reports say he still would have been there at pick number 30. Where do you think he would have gone had the Giants not selected him?
All right, so A, both Dave Gettleman and David Cutcliffe are bozos. They lack credibility on Daniel Jones. They both are looking out for their own interests. Cutcliffe's the coach at Duke. He wants to make Daniel Jones up to be this mythical figure and all that stuff. So that's, you got that. And then Gettleman's trying to protect his own backside. And Daniel Jones would have been a second-round pick, maybe a third-round pick, had it not been for the FUBAR decision-making of Dave Gettleman. And you look at the draft, it was a reach with Kyler Murray at 1. It was, you know, Dwayne Haskins, I think he'll be pretty good with the Redskins. And Drew Locke was the guy that Elway wanted. So I don't see anybody else who was going to run up to get Jones. These guys are all lying. Next!
Now, video from Oracle Park on Wednesday showed a Dodger fan that first lost a plate of fries, then a slice of pizza, going for two separate foul balls.
It's a pricey trip to the ballpark.
Yes, Ben, so you just sat down with your soft pretzel and a plate of chicken fingers.
Hallelujah. From your lips to my belly.
Foul ball heading straight for you.
Yeah.
Do you go for the catch or do you protect the food?
All right, so first of all, I have ninja-like reflexes, Coop, as I talked about earlier with Casey Kasem. So I would quickly put the food down and get the baseball. But if I couldn't do that, I'm not swimming in money. That's like the money I would spend, like $20 worth of food. So I keep the food. I've gotten baseballs before. I keep the food. How do we do?
All right, I guess you pass.
I win the game. I end the week with a win.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Knock, knock. Who's there? Lame week. Lame week who? It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
All right, no time for small talk. It's Big Ben's lame jokes of the week. Actual jokes sent by actual listeners like yourself. We got a bunch of jokes. We'll get right to it. I'll read the joke. Eddie will bounce it back to me, give you the punchline. You'll hear this if it's funny, this if it's not funny, and this if you go either way. And Coop's got some offensive jokes. Roberto's got some racist jokes. So we're good to go. All right, why did Kyler Murray take his offensive line grocery shopping?
I don't know, Ben. Why did Kyler Murray take his O-line grocery shopping?
He needed someone to reach the top shelf. Eddie, so he had to take his offensive. That's Bill from Iowa. Adrian Peterson, it turns out he only sold one copy of his book on parenting.
Oh, just one copy,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill bought it, actually. Yeah. That's the guy that bought it. That's Gary, Gary in Youngstown. Thank you for that, Gary. Which NFL player has a first name which summarizes his character?
NFL player, first name summarizes his character. Who is that, Ben?
Tyreek Hill. So, Cowboy in Windsor sent that one in. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. Let's see here. This is from Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. What's the difference between Laker fans and mosquitoes?
Laker fans and mosquitoes. What's the difference?
Mosquitoes are only annoying in the summertime, Eddie. That's it. They only annoy you there in the summertime. It's a good joke. Why don't you want to win an argument with your wife?
I don't know, Ben. Why don't you want to win an argument with your wife?
Because you don't want to be married to a loser. That's why, Eddie. So Ernie, the great opiner, sent that one in. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. General William Barr set to face more questions. A second Senate hearing, Eddie. They
said. Is that right?
Yeah. Turns out the Houston Rockets are expected to grill him about not releasing the full unredacted memo about the officiating in Game 7. No? All right. Kurt from Earth sent that one.
I'm
again.
Stupid.
When did Marcel from Brooklyn first meet Uncle Dynamite?
Marcel, when did he first meet Uncle Dynamite?
When Dynamite was sneaking out of Marcel's mother's room at about 8 in the morning. That's not right. That's from Gary in Youngstown. when would Angry Bill's cellmate get nervous?
I don't know. When does Angry Bill's cellmate get nervous?
When the prison would rerun or air reruns of Lassie, Eddie. That would. Yeah. So Gary in Youngstown. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. What does Angry Bill wear when he tries to seduce a date?
What does Angry Bill wear when he's seducing a date? I don't know, Ben.
Peanut butter.
Bill from, take that in your pooper and pop it.
Bill, yeah. Bill from Iowa. What is thick, white, and makes me want to gag, Eddie?
Thick, racist. White, and makes Ben want to gag. What is
that's
that?
That's ranch dressing, of course.
That's too obvious.
Get your mind out of the gutter. All right. Well, where did I have to take Bella when she lost her tail?
I don't know. Where did you take Bella when she lost her tail?
I went to the retail store, of course. That's the guy from Beaver Dam sent that one in. What do you have over there, Koopaloo? What do you have?
I mean,
no.
Ben sent this to me,
No.
Obviously, you want it red.
No, no.
This is from Gary in Youngstown.
No.
Why did Ben head off to Chatsworth to audition? Figured if he could swallow ranch, he could swallow anything.
Wow. That is true, though. Ranch is disgusting. That's terrible. Roberto, you got anything, Roberto? Anything stand out to you? It's Big Ben's lame jokes of the week.
Yeah.
What?
Why shouldn't you roll a joint with a Mexican?
I don't know.
They would just run away when you ask them if they have their papers.
Oh, they have the papers. That's right.
Chris in Maine.
Thank you, Chris. Where can Real Talk be found these days, Eddie?
Oh, that's a good question. Where can Real Talk be found these
back
days?
Back of a milk carton. You can find them right there. That's a Just Josh sent that one in. All right. What do Gary Sanchez, Weedman Hippie, and Tyreek Hill have in common?
Huh. Gary Sanchez, Weedman Hippie, and Tyreek Hill. What do they all have in common?
They all like a good hit, Eddie. They all like a good hit. That's from Inga Terror. What did you know that Weedman's house is compliant with the new Green Deal?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's made from recycled cardboard and plastic, so it's scary. From Youngstown again.
Did you hear Weedman was abducted by aliens?
I did not hear that. No,
all four of them were illegal.
Oh.
Just Josh.
How dumb is Weedman?
Oh, good question. How dumb is Weedman?
He's so dumb that his IQ could be a sleep number. It's a low number, Eddie. We love sleep number. That's from Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. What do you call Weedman Hippie when he wears green tights and a little brown fairy booties?
I don't know. What do you call him when he does that?
Peter Panhandle is what you call him. Gordon. Gordon in Tacoma. How poor was Weedman Hippie during his school days?
Oh, I don't know. How poor was he during his school days?
He was so poor he couldn't pay attention, Eddie. That's how poor he was.
Roberto.
What do UCLA tight end Caleb Wilson and Weedman have in common?
Oh, Caleb Wilson and Weedman. What do they have in common?
They're both Mr. Irrelevance, Eddie. They're both Mr. Irrelevance from Eek. In Roseville, Minnesota. Why was Weedman audited?
Well, I don't know. Why was Weedman audited?
The IRS could not believe that anyone could live on a reported income of $49 in a year, Eddie.
How did he get 49 bucks?
PayPal. That's from Gary in Youngstown. Anything else, Coop? Anything else over there?
Yeah. Why does Angry Bill purposely avoid paying his bills on time?
I don't know.
He likes to be in arrears.
What's the difference between James Harden and Weedman Hippie?
Oh, my. James Harden and Weedman. What's the difference?
One of them flops to live. The other lives to flop. Huh. That's the difference.
My joke is from Uncle Earn, by the way.
That's from Husker Kevin, that one. Why is Weedman always dining al fresco?
Oh, I don't know. Why is Weedman always dining al fresco?
Because dumpsters are always outside, Eddie. That's why you got to go. That's from Gary in Youngstown again. What's the difference between Weedman
Hippie?
Weedman Hippie and a mole.
The difference between Weedman and a mole is what?
One burrows and the other borrows. That's the difference. That's from Manic Mike, who sent that one in. It's Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. How poor was Jonas Knox growing up?
I don't know. How poor was Jonas Knox growing up?
He was so poor, he got Weedman's hand-me-downs. That's how poor he was. That's from Just Josh. Well, here's the closer. What did Weedman say when he found two empty refrigerator boxes in the alley?
I don't know. What did he say when he found that?
Hey, it's a two-story apartment now. Look at that. That's from Ernie.